Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here at American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. Abraham Hamilton III is your host. I'm your host here, and you are in the corner with me, J. Charles Jeffrey, affectionately referred to as J Squared, here helping us to make sure we give you the high quality, high octane content that you all have come to expect from the program. Well, we are in the middle of our campaign where we come alongside a ministry called India Partners, where they are laboring to save little boys and little girls as young as 8 years old from being trafficked for sex in India. If you know anything about India, you know about the red light districts in Mumbai, where you have little girls and little boys who are sold into sex slavery. You know, there are a lot of people that talk about slavery. Well, it's still happening right now. And this is something that we here at American Family Radio and Urban Family love to come alongside of these people, because this is how the body of Christ works. We all can't be everywhere at one time, but through the bride of Christ, we can reach everywhere. All right. And we link together like links in a chain, where you have one group, one person, one group of people that are on the front lines, and then you have the remainder of the body that can serve as a supply line. Well, this is a similar situation with India Partners. The way that we are presenting this is that $7.08 provides one day of safety and rescue and care for a child escaping the red light districts in Mumbai. Last year, you guys rallied alongside us so well, we were able to outfit and construct a new safe house for young girls. Well, today, in this year, we are working to complete the purchase and expansion and the ongoing work of a new boys' safe house. You know, so often when we think about sex trafficking, much of the attention and focus is rightly on the fact that girls are being trafficked. And that is true, and that is correct. But there are also lots of little boys that end up in this same predicament. And so we don't want to stand by while wickedness is occurring and we can do something about it. We want to be able to say, yes, we were aware of that, and we did what we could to prevent it, to prevent it. The beautiful thing about India Partners is that they're not merely a humanitarian organization, but they are a gospel-centered organization, to where they not only respond to the physical condition of these children, they respond to their spiritual deficiencies. They present the gospel. They make disciples of these little children. The way that this often happens is that their parents, which are often children themselves, young teenagers, they're involved in the sex trade, and they end up getting pregnant. And they have children, and those children end up becoming participants in the sex trade, and the cycle continues. Well, India Partners seeks to stop that cycle from continuing. And you'll be surprised that you have circumstances where you have sometimes parents in rural villages in India, and they'll sell their children for small amounts of money. And the children don't realize it, but they're being sold into sex slavery. So would you consider supporting the Ministry of India Partners? Every dime, every nickel, every penny that you give to this effort goes directly to India Partners. We don't get anything from it. We just use the platform that is American Family Radio to present that to you. And every bit of the money that we raise goes directly to India Partners. It's all tax-free, tax-deductible, and you can be a part of it. $7.08 provides one day of safety. $50 provides about a week of safety and rescue and care. $100 provides about 2 weeks. $212 provides about a month of safety. Think about it. Many of us, you go out for a nice weekend, you spend $212. You know, well, you could provide a child with a month of safety and rescue from being sold into sex slavery. Would you consider doing that? And if you would, you can call 877-616-2396. That number again is 877-616-2396, or you can give securely online at afr.net. I know, Jeff, you and your wife have been to India with India Partners. Just share briefly with the listeners a little bit of your experience in doing that.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Mumbai is not a small town. It's a big, big city. So when you're talking about those costs, India is not a cheap place, and at least not in the big cities like that. So this money is very well spent. Mm-hmm. What I will say is that it is an endless cycle. Women are not treated as well in India. And many times a woman is divorced, been divorced by no fault of her own, ends up with no place to go. So she finds people that will loan her money, give her a place to stay. They're in debt now. Yeah. So now this endless cycle of debt. Now you have to work for that debt. And then as they go on, like you say, there's no way to get out of it because the man keeps adding to her tab every time day. She eats or anytime she needs something. They have children, and the children are brought up in the same way. Now, to see them come out of that and into these houses infused with the Spirit of God and biblical teaching, the difference between what you see in the faces of those little girls in the red light districts and what you see in these schools and these homes, these safe houses, is incredible. I mean, if you want to see the face of Jesus, you'll see it in these children.
Mm. So would you consider joining us in rescuing these children from sex slavery in the red light districts in Mumbai? The number to call is 877-616-2396. Or you can give securely online right at afr.net. You can also give securely online at urbanfamilytalk.com. Thank you for that, Jeff. Well, we're going to begin today's program in Luke chapter 10. Just something that I wanted to share with you all, verses 38 through 42. And we're going to talk about Mary and Martha. All right, we'll start there. I'll read it first and I'll go through it. Verse 38 in Luke chapter 10. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village. And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Again, this is the gospel written by the physician Luke, Dr. Luke, who was a disciple and understudy of the Apostle Paul, which is why his gospel is included in the canonical scripture. You have the account of the woman who breaks the alabaster box, recurring in all of the Gospels, but only John in John chapter 12 identifies this woman as Mary. We know that Mary and Martha are two sisters who are also, by the way, the sisters of Lazarus. But the Bible records Jesus loved them deeply, loved them deeply, loves Mary, loves Martha. In this particular account in Luke chapter 12, an amazing presentation is made that I think we all can glean from and be ministered to by when we see Martha is the host of this dinner where Jesus is a guest. And so as all of the guests and Jesus enter her home, Martha is busy with her hosting duties. She's making sure this person has this, what they need. That person has that, what they need. They have this, what they need. And of course, Jesus is a guest at the dinner, but Jesus is just one of the guests that Martha is attending to, while Mary is being contrasted with Martha, and she has positioned herself at the feet of Jesus, imbibing the teaching of the Lord. And so as this is playing out, Martha is so busy doing her hosting duties, consumed with making sure the event surrounding the Christ goes off without a hitch, that the Bible records right here in verse 40, but Martha was distracted. The question then becomes, well, distracted by what? And distracted from what? Or dare I say, distracted from whom? Here you have Martha consumed in the busyness of conducting an event where Christ is a guest, but for Martha, Christ is not the central component. And so as she goes on, Martha becomes weighed down with anxieties and troubles, and it causes her to look around. And she notices, wait a minute, Mary? What is Mary? You got the nerve of you sitting up there, sitting at Jesus' feet. You should be over here working with me. And even the King James records it this way. When Jesus says to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Only one thing is needful. See, Martha's anxiety and her angst is not because of anything that Mary is doing affirmatively. She just feels the weight of her busyness. And because she's busy, she wants Mary to join her in busyness. You know, you ever heard of the phrase misery loves company? It makes me think about my own children. You know, I have children. When I say, hey, guys, y'all need to clean up the room. You have two kids cleaning up. And then one would tell me, well, hey, I'm cleaning up, but what is so-and-so doing? They're not doing anything. Why are they doing anything? And the issue here with Martha wasn't because Martha wanted to change places with Mary. It wasn't that Martha wanted to do what Mary was doing. Martha simply wanted Mary to cease what she was doing to join her. And we have an amazing picture here that I believe is very sobering for us as believers, because the Lord rightly pitted Martha's anxiety and her distraction was due to her busyness surrounding the presence of Christ and not the presence of Christ, which gives a beautiful picture how all too often in our lives as believers, we get consumed with the busyness or the routine of Christianity without the focus on Christ. How often do we go through the routine of our daily devotion time? And will we do so just to check the box that, hey, we've done our devotions today? But have our devotions been filled with the presence of Christ? How often do we do good things merely because we know, that's the right thing to do? I should pray. But there is no substance to the prayer time. The question should be whether or not we've had devotions and read the word. The question should be, have we encountered the God of the word? It's very easy to become consumed in the routine of Christianity, and we allow the routine to distract us from Christ. And I know that is a subtle nuance that it may appear, but there's a difference between reading the Bible and consuming his word. There's a night and day difference. Here you have Mary and Martha, both loved by Jesus, both in the same place where Jesus is, but having two completely separate perceptions and experiences, though they both are in the house. And if you notice, Jesus responds to Martha when Martha says, well, Lord, she needs to be busy like me. What does Jesus tell her? Jesus says, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. You have all of these other things that you have allowed to capture your attention, when in reality, I should be the focal point of what's going on with you in this place. But because you've allowed me to merely become a guest among guests in your home, as opposed to being the focal point of your home, you've become distracted. But he tells Martha that Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her, which gives us a clear insight into something. You can choose to allow yourself to be distracted with the routine of Christianity, or you can allow your position in Christ to be filled with his presence, his power, his word as the central focus of your Christian existence. So the question I have for you and for myself is Christ merely a guest among guests in our hearts and in our homes? Or is he the focal point? The answer to that question will likely diagnose for you and I the source of our anxiety. Because if we allow ourselves to be distracted from the Christ when he is present in our home, then what else would we allow to distract us? If Satan can't keep you from the gospel, he wants to make you barren and unproductive in your knowledge of Jesus Christ.
There is a new face for religious freedom. I am Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. Governor Sam Brownback from Kansas will be the new ambassador at large for international religious freedom in the State Department. This is wonderful news after a six-month-long confirmation delay by Democrats. Brownback is a former governor, U.S. senator, and U.S. representative. During his time in the Senate, he actively supported religious freedom in multiple countries and supported the International Religious Freedom Act of 1998. Brownback was nominated by President Trump for this important position and is the right person to monitor religious persecution and discrimination worldwide. Brownback will also be able to recommend and implement policy changes to regions and countries to promote religious freedom. Innocent people around the world are imprisoned, tortured, and persecuted for their faith. Christians and religious minorities are suffering more persecution than at any time in history. Pray for Ambassador Brownback. Visit lc.org.
On American Family Radio, this is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. How would you like to change your world? You can, you know. It's actually easy for you to change your world. In fact, it's what God has called you to do, to let your light so shine before men that they will see God through you and what you have. You don't have to be preachy. That pushes people away from you. Well, God wants to draw people to Him through you. Being weird and overbearing doesn't do that. Being loving and kind does. And a simple word, letting people know you're a Christian, lets them know you're loving and kind because you're a Christian. When Christians start doing that in mass, revival will sweep America. You can't change the world, but you can change your world. And when all of us change our worlds, we'll change the world. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone every day closer to Jesus. If you need help doing that, go to ROTW.com.
When it comes to the issue of trafficking, it's not just girls that we're talking about. The truth is that even boys are at risk.
We'd be on the bed doing wrong things.
In Mumbai, India, in the red light districts, there are young men like Najish.
I rolled over several times and broke many bones. This scar here on my forehead, this scar is from that night.
It happens every day, and it must stop. And it can. That is why American Family Radio and India Partners are teaming up to provide a safe house outside the city where young boys are rescued. With your gift of just $7.08, you provide a day of safety and shelter at a new India Partners safe house. Coming up here on American Family Radio, we're going to show you how your gifts can rescue a boy and make this new safe house a reality. Learn more at AFR.net.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here in American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. The question that we were addressing in the first segment, discussing Mary and Martha, was a very simple one. Is Christ merely one guest among many in our hearts, or has He captured our focused devotion? Because believe it or not, you can do good things, but from a non-godly motivation. Remember 1 Corinthians 13 tells us all about that. You can have ulterior motives even when you pray. It's true. James said, the reason why you pray and don't receive is because you ask amiss. You ask amiss. And the Lord told Martha that Mary has chosen the goodly option, the preferable option. I encourage you to do the same thing. I don't want to be in the house with Jesus and Him be one among many guests that I have to serve. He must be my focused devotion. Well, if you're not aware of it, I don't even know if it's still going on. But before I came on the air, Nancy Pelosi was in, I believe, the eighth hour of her hours of speaking on the floor of the House of Representatives because she had such great disdain for political maneuvering. Why was she absorbing so much time on the floor of the House of Representatives? Was it because she was addressing the horrible schooling systems in many of America's public schools? Nope. Was she fighting, you know, for the domestic American employers who've lost jobs in years gone by? No. Was she, you know, addressing the opioid epidemic that is so, you know, that is tearing through America so much so the city of California which includes the 12th district that she represents, they just opened their first clinic where they allow people to come and shoot drugs up in a controlled and observed environment. Nope, she's not taking the floor for that. Why, you ask, is she taking the House of the floor to speak for hours? Even though there's no such thing as a filibuster in the House of Representatives, they get special permission for a quote-unquote magic minute, is what it's called. Why did she take the magic minute? Oh, I'll tell you, because she wants to make sure that any budget deals includes provisions for illegal aliens. She wants a deal on DACA. So the Senate, you have two things that are happening. On the House of Representatives side, the House of Representatives have passed a temporary stopgap spending bill that would prevent the government from shutting down tomorrow. Because if there's not a budget agreement reached by tomorrow, the government will shut down again. And of course, nobody in Congress wants that, of course, because Chuck Schumer and the Democrats realize that the Americans don't take too kindly for you guys shutting the government down to provide for illegal aliens as opposed to other Americans. Even those who are pro open borders and things of that nature, they think, well, not necessarily pro open borders. Even those that are more inclined to grant amnesty, they don't think the government should be shut down to do it. And Jeff just updated me. So she did a record 8 hours and 7 minutes. Is she still going?
No, she's done.
She's done. Okay, so she's done now. She's done now. 8 hours and 7 minutes. Nancy Pelosi spoke. And so the House of Representatives passed the temporary funding measure that will fund the government from February 8th until March 23rd, thereabouts. Well, the Senate had other plans. The slippery eel himself, Mitch McConnell, and Chucky Shucky Duck Schumer, quack, quack. They have announced a budget agreement that will last for 2 years. Yes, you heard me right, 2 years. So you have some questions for me? Are they planning to defund Planned Parenthood? No, I don't think so. So they must be making some adjustments with the spending levels. No, actually, they're actually removing budgetary limits, much of them on defense, which is good. I like to fund our military. But one little slippery provision in this is that they would suspend the debt limit for this time period. You heard me right. Suspend the debt limit. Now, I just, I'm a lot younger than a lot of people. You know, maybe I'm just pie in the sky, idealistic. But I thought that the Republican Party was a party of fiscal responsibility. Maybe I'm wrong about that. You know, that they want to just completely. So y'all going to tell me that you want to pass a bill that's just going to completely get rid of any limit on the amount of debt you can incur? That's what y'all want to do? That's what's being proposed. And of course, Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell are, well, of course, this isn't a perfect measure, but it prevents the government from shutting down. And of course, there's some things that, you know, conservatives would like, which include, you know, raising the spending limits for funding the military. I like that, to the tune of, you know, $400 billion over the next 2 years. Okay, but if we're going to add money to them, certainly we should be removing spending in other areas. But of course not. And the agreement does other things like extends the CHIP program, the Children's Health Insurance Program, for another 4 years. But there's the continual funding of Planned Parenthood. Not even raising that. That's not even a blip on the radar anymore, it seems. Not even a blip. And the reason why Nancy Pelosi is taking the floor for 8 hours and 7 minutes, because there is nothing in the agreement announced by Charles Schumer and Mitch McConnell that would address DACA. So because she was terrorized, pun intended, by those in her own district who stormed her public appearance not too long ago, we played the audio when she referred to the Dreamers and they yelled wonderfully back to her, all 11 million, remember that? All 11 million, not Dreamers, all 11 million. Just proving what I've long said, the people that are advocating for DACA on the regressive side of the political spectrum, they're doing it as a first offering to the ultimate goal of full-blown amnesty across the board. I'm just telling you, that's not even like a smart guy's deduction. All you have to do is just be paying attention. That doesn't require a large component of intellectual capital. That's just, so you pass a DREAM Act The court said, nah, the Dream Act is unconstitutional. And then you unconstitutionally, President Obama, use your pen and your phone to create DACA out of whole cloth. So what's the reality here? Well, you want the entire Dream Act, but you'll take it in pieces if you can get it that way. That's what's happening. So I just wanted to let you know that that was happening, guys. That, I mean, if you, I don't know if you care about the debt that continues to rise, that under President George W. Bush, it doubles, you know, the debt doubles from $5 trillion to $10 trillion. No one says much. President Obama takes office, the debt doubles again from $10 trillion to $20 trillion. Of course, that's what they tell you the debt is. Those numbers never include unfunded liabilities and unfunded mandates. It never includes that. So the real number is much higher than that. And then we have this measure that Chucky Duck Schumer and Mitch McConnell announces. And the things that they're announcing is, you know, they're announcing things. Because I have articles from multiple places. I have the LA Times and other places. The LA Times is heralding the fact that the package includes nearly $100 billion in supplemental disaster aid spending for hurricanes and wildfires that ravage coastal and western states and Puerto Rico. Then you have those on the conservative side that are lauding the fact that, well, they would remove some of the caps on spending for the military, but none of them are mentioning the fact that, oh, by the way, that they're going to suspend the debt ceiling for this time period. So let me ask you a question, gentlemen in the studio. If you have a suspended debt ceiling already done, what do you think? What kind of wonderful imaginative ideas do you think we can expect to come from Congress once they realize they don't have a debt ceiling to contend with? Because don't forget, the debt ceiling was one of the things that Republicans wrung their hands over about having to contend with. So if they can use this powder keg of a moment to dispatch with that pesky little debt ceiling, can you imagine what we could see coming down the pike? Goodness gracious. There is hardly ever any restraint when you're spending other people's money. Ain't that nothing? Well, in addition to that, there's lots of news going on, lots of things happening all over the country. But it appears that these star-crossed lovers, I'm kidding, these adulterous people, let's keep it real, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, and I don't know how in 2 years you can text 50,000 times. I guess it's one of those things where, you know, you're doing dirt, you got to keep it on the DL. That's the download, in case you don't know. You got to keep it on the DLs, keep it on the unders. So you got to text all day long. Well, in reading through what turns out to be 50,000 text messages that's included amongst 384 pages, you know, because there's so many of them, it takes time to read through these things. There's this wonderful, wonderful little ditty from August. No, not August. I'm sorry. From July of 2016. Let me get my dates right. This wonderful, wonderful little ditty. I'm trying to make sure I have the right date. This was before the conclusion of the Hillary Clinton investigation. Before the July 5th, 2016 announcement from James Comey, we have this wonderful little ditty from Lisa Page and Peter Strzok. But before I play it, I'm sorry, but before I read the text of this message, you see what I did there? The text of this message. I want to remind you, and I played this audio, and Jeff made note, we were a little bit above the curve, ahead of the curve with this, because I played it on Monday for you. But I just want to remind you of this, and it's clip two, where President Obama is being interviewed by Mike Wallace on Fox News, and he says this. Go ahead and play clip two.
I guarantee that there is no political influence in any investigation conducted by the Justice Department or the FBI, not just in this case, but in any case.
And she will be
full stop. Period.
And she will be treated no differently.
Guaranteed, full stop. Nobody gets treated differently when it comes to the Justice Department because nobody is above the law.
Nobody.
Even if she ends up as the Democratic nominee.
How many times do I have to say it, Chris? Guaranteed.
Guaranteed. There was a chef back in New Orleans when I was growing up. He'd come on Saturday's cooking shows. Say, I guarantee. President Obama said, I guarantee. Full stop. She won't be treated any differently. A little early in that interview, he says, oh, he wasn't aware of anything that was happening. He didn't talk to the attorney general. He doesn't talk to the FBI director about investigations. He clearly is above the fray with any of this stuff. Well, Peter Strzok. in texting with Lisa Page, said this. And they were this was said in the context of preparing talking points for James Comey. Why were they preparing, discussing the preparation of talking points? It was because POTUS, which the POTUS at the time in 2016 was none other than Barack Hussein Obama. They were preparing the talking points for James Comey. Why? Because POTUS, quote, wants to know everything we are doing, end quote. Mr. Obama wanted to know everything that they were doing, but he wasn't involved, had no conversations with anybody. When he says, oh, I didn't talk to the attorney general about the Clinton investigation. I didn't talk to the FBI director. But could you have been talking to the FBI head investigator in the investigation? I'm like, come on, man, we're not dumb. Just because you may not have had a conversation with James Comey about it, if you talk to the man James Comey assigned to head up the investigation, you're talking to James Comey. Wants to know everything that they're doing. I have long maintained, and these text messages confirm a lot of this information that is coming out piece by piece, confirms the primary reason, the raison d'etre, the primary reason, and I believe that Hillary Clinton wasn't indicted for her usage of the email server was because there is no way for you to indict her without bringing it all the way to President Obama. Why else would he be so interested to find out everything that's going on? You think President Obama didn't know about Loretta Lynch meeting Bill Clinton in Phoenix on the tarmac? Which I will remind you, though these high-level executives' travel schedules are well known by many in the media, the only reason why we know about that is because a low-on-the-totem-pole local Phoenix reporter just so happened to not know he wasn't supposed to turn his camera on. And he is able to catch the fact that you have Loretta Lynch, who has high-level clearance, classification, and protection by the federal government, and former President Bill Clinton, who, of course, you know he has a Secret Service detail. They just so happen to cross paths on the tarmac. Ah, you know. What's a plane meeting between friends? Strzok and Page, text message show, talking points are being prepared for James Comey. Why? Because POTUS, there's only one of those at a time, wants to know everything that we are doing. Now, one of the main questions that led to Watergate and Nixon being brought down was, how much did he know and when did he know it? I would like to phrase that question, to pose that question for former president number 44. How much did you know and when did you know it? In terms of lining up evidentiary information, and this is why I have my magnifying glass right now on Jeff Sessions. Can you hear me, Mr. Jefferson Beauregard? We're waiting to see what you're going to do with this information, sir. Because if you cannot do what needs to be done, it may be time for you to step out of the way. And listen, I know that this job, man, it's a Herculean effort. But the reality here is that this is not about a partisan result. Really, in my estimation, this has to do with the preservation and the longevity of this grand experiment that is the Constitutional Republic of America. Because if we have a situation where the FBI can be co-opted and used as the henchman for political operation, if we have, you know, the stink going all the way up to the top, this does not bode well for our republic. This is the kind of stuff that happens in banana republics. This is the type of stuff that happens in Venezuelas and Nicaraguas and Krapistans. This doesn't happen in America, but it's happening in America. And we all should be concerned. And I tell my brethren who happen to be regressives, listen, just for 1 minute, think if the shoe was on the other foot, how would you feel? If you have for example, a George W. Bush administration weaponizing the FBI to spy on an incumbent administration and President Barack Obama, and having his cohort spied on with a false FISA application based on what James Comey referred to as a salacious and unverified dossier, how would you feel then?
For centuries, the Bible has inspired humanity and shaped the very world we live in. But how do we know this book is the Word of God and not merely the words of men?
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God who speaks explores the evidence of the Bible's inspiration and authority through some of the world's most respected biblical scholars.
We have essentially a dual authorship. So it's true to say that Paul wrote Romans. It's equally true to say that God wrote Romans.
He says, we saw this, and that sets the Bible apart from almost everything else in the ancient world and its religious pantheon of gods and goddesses.
The God Who Speaks is a feature-length documentary from the American Family Association. Available now at thegodwhospeaks.org.
Why is the inspiration of Scripture so important? This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul writes, all Scripture is inspired by God. That God divinely directed the 40 human authors of the Bible is foundational, because if He didn't, then Scripture is the words of fallen men and not the true Word of God. The good news is that God didn't create everything and leave us in the dark about His character and will. He inspired a book so we can know who He is and how we should follow Him. In other words, He is the God who speaks. Hear an interview and preview the just-released feature-length documentary film, The God Who Speaks, at thechristianworldview.org. This weekend, we'll discuss prioritizing in a culture of distraction.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
There's controversy over the spring musical at Ithaca High School in New York. Social justice activists were successful in shutting down the production of The Hunchback of Notre Dame because the lead role went to a white girl. An African-American thespian quit the production in protest, leading to all sorts of off-stage drama. A gaggle of student activists banded together and wrote a list of demands, most notably that the white actress be replaced with a thespian of color. They also accused the school of cultural appropriation. The character of Esmeralda is half Roma, half French, and in their feeble minds, the theatrical urchins contend only a half Roma, half French actor should have the part. The school district's response is flat out pathetic. Instead of educating the kids about reverse racism, they canceled the show. The protesters say their ultimate goal is about unity, which apparently means white kids need not audition. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here at American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. We will open the phone lines this segment. The number to call if you want to be a part of the program is 888-589-8840. That number again is 888-589-8840. But before we get to the callers, I wanted to share this little ditty for you. Not to be confused with Diddy of Can't Stop, Won't Stop fame. Let's work. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Don't you want to hear a little bit from good old Justin? I'm sure you do. Well, while he was having a little question and answer session in Canada, there was a woman who had a question for him who apparently worked for this, which a little bit of research. I'm not very familiar with this organization, but as a result of seeing this story, I did a little bit of research about the World Mission Society Church of God, which apparently is a feminist cult that started in South Korea in 1964, but they boast 2 million members nationwide. But they are representing themselves to be a church, and apparently this World Mission Society is very active in volunteer work, very active in volunteering, and they've gotten a lot of awards and different things like that. And apparently in Canada, they have pretty strict regulations that prohibit the operation of religious organizations in volunteer work. And so in the middle of her conversation, she referred to a desire to aid mankind And she referred to it as maternal love. This is apparently one of the things that this cult, this feminist cult, talks about God being a woman in all of this. But what I want to present to you is her discussion or her mentioning the fact that her desire was to help mankind. And look how Justin Trudeau seeks to correct her. If you would, Mr. Tross, play clip number one.
We have received the Queen's Award in the UK. We have received the, I have a question.
Question.
Yes, we have received many awards throughout the whole world. However, unfortunately in Canada, our volunteering as a charitable religious organization is extremely difficult. Extremely. That's why in actuality, we cannot do free volunteering to help our neighbors in need as we truly desire. So that's why we came here today to ask you to also look into the policies that religious charitable organizations have in our legislation so that it can also be changed, because maternal love is the love that's going to change the future of mankind. So we'd like you to look
into that. We like to say people kind, not necessarily mankind, because it's more inclusive.
There we go, exactly. Yes, thank you.
We can all learn from each other.
Now, you heard Justin Trudeau's correction.
Well, we like to say people kind, because people kind is more inclusive.
More inclusive? Give me a break. Can I say something? This might get me in trouble. But you guys know I really like to avoid any things that would get me in trouble, right? There's very few things that irritate me. Like pansy men. I am irritated by pansy men. It. I see Jason like, Abe, don't do it. This guy is bending over himself backwards to people kind. We say people kind. We want to be inclusive. And I'm saying, dude, do you realize that the root reference for people kind comes all the way back around to mankind? It's like, we know what the woman is saying when she says mankind. When did it become a capital crime to be a man? And it's just ridiculous. And the other thing I wanted to share is, did you hear the robust applause from the crowd? The, oh yeah, we gotta do it. Because we are down the road pretty far in terms of embracing the sexual deviancy agenda, but Canada is ahead of us. You know, if we're on a track and, you know, we're running, you know, a track is 400 meters around where we might be on lap one, Canada's on lap two already. All right. They are way down. And this is just another capitulation toward the insanity that is regressive ideology and gender politics. I shared before I was on AFR, that the University of Michigan adopted a new gender inclusive policy that would allow all of its students to identify their own pronouns. And whatever pronouns that they declared they wanted to identify themselves as, they had to just go to their registrar's office and change their official pronoun reference. And whatever they recorded themselves as, everybody in the school, including professors, administration, they would be required to refer to that individual by that pronoun. Well, you had this one precocious freshman by the name of Grant Strobel who said, oh, this is what we're going to do. I know what I'll do. I'm going to go down to the registrar's office and his chosen pronoun, because remember, it doesn't have to be any pre-described pronouns or predefined, whatever you choose. He said his declared pronoun would be Your Majesty. So when he would be in class and he raises his hand and the professor is up with his pink extended waxing eloquent, what do you think the meaning is of this piece of prose? And Grant Strobel would raise his hand and the professor would say, yes, Grant. And Grant would say, excuse me, prof. Excuse me. And the professor would have to say, I'm sorry, Your Majesty, Grant Strobel. Everybody in the school has to call him Your Majesty, which of course he's using the insanity of the policy to make a point. But you see how when we embrace these regressive ideologies, it ends up with ludicrous results. It ends up with the kind of stuff to where you can't have daddy-daughter dances in elementary schools in New York. It ends up with prime ministers who can't listen to a person complaining to you about restrictions on regulations of people with religious affiliations to be volunteers. To volunteer. But he falls over himself to say, blah, blah, people kind, people kind. We say people kind. That's the kind of craziness that's happening here. And if we're not careful, we'll stumble ourselves all the way down. And listen, this is why I am a consistent bulldog for standing for the truth. The Bible tells us when the blind lead the blind, we all will end up in a ditch. So when I'm considering people and those who will present themselves that want to be our leaders on different things, the beginning of my analysis is not how many degrees they have. It's not whether or not they look a certain way. The question that I have is, do these people fear the Lord? Because the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And it's the beginning of wisdom. So if we have people who do not fear the Lord, that means that they are ripe for the type of foolishness that would have college freshmen being referred to in English 101 as Your Majesty Grant Strobel. It ends up with the kind of foolishness that would have a particular elementary school in New York, though not one parent or one student complained, that will have these administrators, these bureaucrats from on high to declare, we will now terminate the daddy-daughter dance. Because it is so exclusive. Sad, man. And this is happening in the state of New York, where abortion is so prevalent that people who have darker skin like mine, there are more babies being aborted every year in New York City than being born. Yet we have a school that wants to eliminate daddy-daughter dances. I can tell you there are lots of girls that would love to have their daddies dance with them. It's sad. But I promise we get to the phone lines. And I'm going to keep my promise. We'll go first to Louisiana. But before that, let me give the number again. The number, if you want to be a part of the program, is 888-589-8840. The number is 888-589-8840. We'll go to Becky in Louisiana. Becky, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Abraham. And you changed my thought. My thought now is overriding. He was a liar from the beginning, and his job is to exchange the truth for a lie in everybody.
Thank you, Becky. you're right. And clearly she's referring to old Slewfoot. That's the way they used to refer to him. Was a liar from the beginning. And in Romans 1, it talks about that the truth of God was exchanged into a lie. Exchanged for a lie and changed into a lie. Back to the phone lines. We'll next go to the great state of Texas, where Stephen is on the line. Stephen, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, sir, for having me on your program. I listened to you on my way home from work, and I must say, sir, I am incredibly blessed to have the privilege and time to hear you on the radio, because you really inspire me to be a better man and a better husband and a better father to my children. But I have a real concern, and I've, listened over the past several months of all of these revelations that are coming out of all of the wrongdoings and all of the missteps of the other party in trying to entrap our president. And even when Obama was the president. I called him my president because I am a Christian first and a patriot second. But more importantly, Mr. Hamilton, what is it that as a citizen I can do, for recourse to help, I guess, the wheels of justice? I know they turn slowly, but they turn finely. Mm-hmm. And furthermore, what is it that we can honestly expect to see as a result of all of these revelations coming out? I'm the son of a police officer, mm-hmm. and, there is supposed to be punishment for crimes that are committed. And I'm just going to hang up and listen to what you have to say about that.
Stephen, first of all, I have to say thank you for calling the program, and I appreciate your complimentary words at the beginning of your comments. It is a blessing, honestly, and a privilege for me to be able to connect with you all through this medium, and I'm grateful to God to be able to do that. Secondarily, one of the big things that I think I even need to do a better job of bringing this to the fore, one of the most under-attended, other under-participated in, if you will, entities that could bring immediate results would be participation in midterm elections. That you would be amazed, astounded at the low voter turnout and participation that that our midterm elections that we have, and specifically in our primaries. That, you know, there are lots of people that we talked about the presidential election coming down to, you know, Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton. But the reality is that the primary elections were had very low turnouts. So one of the most immediate things you can do is become knowledgeable about your candidates on the local, state, and federal level and vote in the midterms. Find everybody you know, because listen, let me tell you clearly, if the Democrats win the House of Representatives in the midterms, they will move to impeach President Trump. That's a fact. Even though they don't have the evidence to do it, they will try to do it. Okay, secondarily, this is a great opportunity to add support for the president's agenda in the Senate in the midterms. So I know that you're in Texas and there's a concerted effort by a senator to unseat Ted Cruz. I would encourage you to rally your friends and family to oppose that. But midterm elections is one of the immediate things that we can engage in to stave off this type of craziness. In addition to that, and this is where the challenge comes in, is that we need to be able to do our homework and stay plugged into keeping up what's going on in the country so that we can hold our leaders accountable. So in the immediate future, I would suggest pay attention to what's going on with Jeff Sessions to see if there are any responses there. And if not, we may need to make some moves to probably add some, communal encouragement for Attorney General Sessions to do what needs to be done. We'll go next to Mississippi, where Christian is on the line. Christian, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Daddy. I just wanted to tell you that you're doing a great job.
Christian, this is my son, Christian? Is this my number one big boy?
Yes.
Oh, man. Thank you for calling the show. Thank you very much. I love you too, son. Thank you. That was my son, my taekwondo master. Thank you. Well, back to the phone lines. I want to make sure we get this call in. We'll go to North Carolina, where Danielle is on the line. Danielle, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. This is my first time calling in.
Oh, thank you for doing so. Go right ahead.
My question is that the Bible tells us that they will know us by our love.
That's right.
I'm a pastor, North Carolina, and wanted to ask your thoughts on when you are speaking of the prime minister and speaking of this women's group and all those types of things. There seems to be a little belittling going on and making fun. And how do you feel that lines up with our biblical perspective of, you know, Jesus was a man of love and that kind of thing?
Very easily. Thank you, Danielle, for your question. Your comments gives me an opportunity to answer that. Unfortunately, many people in our society think love is synonymous with passive carte blanche and acceptance of anything anybody else does. That is not how love is defined biblically. If you read 1 Corinthians 13, the Bible says love rejoices with the truth, okay? So it is not unloving to confront someone who is espousing a position that is not grounded in truth. When you have Prime Minister Justin Trudeau asserting that a reference to mankind is inherently offensive because it excludes certain people, he is denying the truth that God made them both male and female. If God has made them both male and female, it is not unloving of me to confront the fact that he's attempting to assert that there is something other than male and female. It is loving to confront.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.